feeling that you want to make sure, that I want to make sure, that our relationship is respected when you have conversations with people. Because it doesn't affect our relationship if you get close with another woman, you become friends with that person. Because women are kick-ass, and we can be funny, and we can be smart, and we can have really good insight, and give really good help. Men, not so much, so like, I don't know how close I'm gonna get with other men, but, you know, women.
But every now and then, you'll end up with a conversation with a dude that is actually good-hearted, that is actually nice, that hears you. You don't even have to say,
I have a problem with separating flirtation from that. Because...
From yourself or from them?
From them. Because I, not that I don't see it, but that I assume every guy who looks at me is interested in fucking me. And I know that's not true. That sounds really terrible, and it's not from an egotistical point of view. It's not that I think I'm so beautiful and that like every guy wants me. It's not that. It's more like I've had a million more experiences in guys speaking to me solely to take me home rather than speaking to me because they are interested in getting to know me. And so because of that now, I'm like cautious when a guy or a person, even the people that I met at the hostel, I feel cautious and I feel kind of like I'm being kind of rude. I noticed myself speaking to these people from just me, like, you can talk to me, but I'm not going to be super nice to you.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if they're flirting with me or not.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me from being, when I'm in a relationship. Now, when I'm single, you know, you just let anyone talk to you because you're open for new people to talk to.
Right.
But I have no interest at all in flirting with anybody. That doesn't even, like, suit me. It doesn't interest me. In fact, like, when I heard them, these guys were talking to me, I was, like, kind of just wishing you were there to, like, so I could show them you, you know? Like, I have no interest in flirting.
Were they that way?
The young Malaysian guy who was a diver was. But Oscar wasn't. He's an old Indonesian man who knew that I would never look at him twice. So he was talking to me very friendly. But the young, like, 25-year-old, like, bodybuilding Malaysian diver guy definitely was. And I found myself being rude because I was talking about you. He followed us on social media, yet, like, he was still asking me about me. He was asking me about my plans. He was, like, trying to comfort me because I was there, like, without you, you know? And, like, you know, your boyfriend kicked you out, blah, blah, blah. Even though I never said anything like that. I just said we needed time apart. And I need to figure out how to allow myself to open up and be friends with guys and not just assume they're in it.
You want to know how?
For me, how?
You tell them that. That's what I said to all my girlfriends also. And I was going to say something earlier also. That's one of the things that I hated that girls did to me. Because I genuinely went up to them. I just really wanted to have a cool conversation with you. I want you to think. And I also know that girls think that I want to fuck them if I just go up and be like, hey, how are you, right?
Because most of the time, that's what we're shown.
So many times. So this is what I did. This is what I started doing. I'm going to pick up what you just said. You remember what you did? You said with the guy or whatever. And how you respond to them.
I felt, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
How you respond to them is... it's by telling them. Just keep talking. Just listen, right? That's what I'm trying to do with you now. Like, listen to what you're saying instead of making up my mind to think what I think that you're saying. You know?
I appreciate that so much.
So
for real, like,
and that's what you have to do with that and with me and everybody. What are they saying? They're not saying what you think they're saying. They're saying what they're saying, mm-hmm. right? Because humans, we like to put labels on things because we're egoic and that's just the human condition, right? Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate you saying that, by the way. For real.
So this is what I started doing when I was single and I was going out to the club and I wanted just to talk to like, and the only thing I wanted is for people to see my goodness, right? Mm-hmm. So how do I do that? I asked myself, how do I do that without 100% having them think that
you're trying to take them home.
Yes. So I did one thing. And I saw somebody that I looked pretty or did something that I thought was cool or had cool hair or even dudes, like even fucking dudes, I would go compliment them. be like, hey, I just want to say that I think it was really pretty today. And they'll be like, oh, thank you so much. Like, you're welcome. And then turn around and walk away. And something that I like, the shirt or their whatever it is. So I was walking around the, you know, nightclub, be like, hey, I think you look really nice today. I think you look pretty. And some of them are like, ugh, you know? But very few, like, of the 100 that I said it to, probably 5 were like, ugh, shut the fuck up, you know? And most of them were like, oh, really? Thank you. Like, you know, genuinely thanking me for it. And especially because I was at a distance, and I pointed them at the finger at the shoulder, like, you know, I tried to get their eye, like, get eye contact, and I said, well, I think you look pretty today. I'm like, oh, thank you, you're welcome, and then just walk away. That's all I did, and I even said to my dudes, my guy friends, that I did that. And they were like, oh, that's actually pretty cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And it made me feel good. It made me, like, feel like I got what I needed that night, which is, you know, a thank you for truly expressing myself as who I am. Without having to know, you know, get to know them and ask them if they want to get a drink and, you know, you don't have to get to know me. You get to know me by me just doing that, right?
I have such butterflies in my tummy from, like, the first night that we were hanging out at Chiller's. Or no, it was the second night. And you were like, do you want to get out of here? And that, like, sounded like a fucking movie to me. Like, no one has ever, like, actually said that to me. And we were sitting over by the arcade games, and you, like, grabbed my hand, and you, in front of all of your Norwegian friends, I was shocked that you did that, and we walked outside, and we sat at the table, and, like, just started talking, and, like, that, it was, of course, I was interested in you, but because we had been texting for so long, something that I really want to do with you is go back and read our first couple text messages, because I want to show you and remind you why we connected in the first place, because that person is still me. And I think I did that, like, when we were in Norway or when I was writing the stuff for the Valentine's Day wall. I think it was really eye-opening to be reminded, like, why we connected in the first place. But, you know, the way you handled talking to me, I didn't feel like you were just trying to get in my pants. I didn't feel like, especially...
But it wasn't. That's how I've been operating for fucking years now. That's why people were surprised that I hung out with Jeanette. Like, how the fuck did you even, you know? And I was like, I didn't try. I was trying to be friendly. And that's what with anybody else, like, before that also. Like, it doesn't come naturally to me to be like, oh, what's up, baby, you know? Fuck that shit. It's not me. So that's why you didn't feel it either. And it's not because I try to be someone that I'm not. It's because I was who I am. And still am, really. You know, whoever this angry personality is that, you know, erupts when it's enough or whenever I tell myself it is, you know, that's also me.
And the emotional person that cries when I feel hurt is me too. And that just affects you negatively, and then that affects me negatively, and that's why we need space. I understand that. But I think for me, the best way to show me that you aren't being flirtatious with another girl, or you're just trying to have a good conversation, or you're just trying to meet cool people, and just trying to open up your experiences, is just to stay true to how you treat me, right? Like, you know, if we're in public and we're talking to girls, like, you know, or if you're talking to girls and you continue to talk for a really long time, like, the way in Chiller's, you know, I would leave you to talk to whomever you wanted and do whatever, but you would come over to me and you'd check on me and you'd say hi and you'd keep me updated, or you'd pull me over to, like, talk to whoever you're talking to. Just to, like,
that's what I want.
If you just, like, stay true to who we are as a couple.
Who I am.
Right.
Because who I am is being with you.
Because the moment, you know, I feel like your flirtation with me drops, or you're continuously texting this girl that you met instead of having a conversation with me, and as soon as it feels like you're not staying true to who we are as a couple, that's when I'll start to feel insecure. But until that point...
I will never have you feel that way. Because I would not like you doing that to me. That would make me feel like I have no reason to be with you. And since I want to be with you and I want to build a strong relationship, then I would never make you feel that way.
Thank you.
Like, if I'm trying to do what I'm trying to do, which is build a strong relationship, then I can't do those things. It's away from my goal. It's not even on the way, you know.
Yeah.
I'm on a path. Mm-hmm. That is not on my path. Mm-hmm. So it won't happen.
What is your path exactly?
It's to build a strong relationship with you, to understand how I can be a better partner, to understand what I do wrong and how I can fix it, and be aware of that, and then act on it, right? Because mm-hmm. I can think that, okay, yeah, these are the five things that I need to do to be a better partner, but then never actually do anything. Because mm-hmm. from the moment that I become aware of what I need to do and to where I'm accomplishing it is a whole bunch of fucking progresses mm-hmm. and processes, I need to say, mm-hmm. to get there, mm-hmm. right? So that's my goal. My goal is to if we ever get to that point where we're like, okay, yeah, this doesn't work, that I tried everything.
I agree. That's how I feel too. That there's nothing more for me to
exactly.
try.
Exactly. And yeah. I want to get to that point. And that can take, you know, 50 fucking years. Mm-hmm. You never know how long that can take, right? But I don't want to leave you and think that I could have tried this mm-hmm. or I could have tweaked this about myself mm-hmm. that would fix the thing that broke it, mm-hmm. right? And if I have that mentality, then we're never going
to. Right, but you still need to stay true to yourself, yeah, right? Yeah. In the same, like, I need to stay true to myself in our relationship, but at the same time, like, that's a fine line that you're walking. Staying true to yourself, but also being willing to change who you are for the better yeah. to help your relationship.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what I want to, like, being my best self is being my best self, not only for myself, but mm-hmm. for the person that I'm with, mm-hmm. right? So I can't be the best for us if I'm not the best for myself.
Right.
That's what I keep thinking. Like, that's what I want to not only teach you, but everybody in the fucking world. Mm-hmm. I haven't accomplished that yet, but I know it's important. Mm-hmm. So then when I keep saying, like, self-love and all those things are important, and I'm trying to, like, teach you however I'm trying to express that, it's because I know it's important, not because I have accomplished it myself, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to say to my brother and to anybody I meet that is struggling with something. Mm-hmm. You got to fucking look out for yourself first. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say to my kids, mm-hmm. don't care about what the fuck I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were my daughter, I would be the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. If you love something mm-hmm. and I'm telling you that you shouldn't do that because something else, you should listen to yourself before you listen to me. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And that's what I want, like, that's so important for anybody. So it's not because it's not to be the best for you.
Right.
It's to be the best for me so that we can build a strong relationship.
Because I truly believe that the best you is the best person in the world for me. Now, of course, there are other people in the world who I feel like I could be compatible with, right?
Yeah.
There are other people in the world who I feel like I would get along with and that I could eventually love, but I have you. And
so why would you go for another looking?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Like, I did a lot of reading last night, like I said, and I did a lot of reading about what happens, like, the honeymoon phase is just that phase in which you're, like, you know, having dreams about the person, and you're, like, your heart flutters when you think of them, and a lot of people say that typically goes away within, like, 6 months to a year, and after about, I have never had a long-term relationship. I've dated John, David, and James for about 18 months before things fell apart. All around the exact amount of time, about 18 months before I left them. I left David, I left James, I left all of them after about 18 months because that's when things fell apart. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of research about, like, what does it mean to have a relationship, like, after that love fluttering phase. A lot of people don't last because that's what they think love is. And that's what they lose. And
if you lose it, then you can't be in love.
Right, and then they want to go after that feeling again. And that feeling is great, right? That feeling is, the feeling when you're falling in love with somebody, when you, like, are smiling at the texts, and, I mean, that feeling is amazing, but that feeling never lasts. So if you just continue to search for it your whole life, you can have that feeling as much
as you
want, but you'll never have that actual satisfaction of true love, because that's not true love.
No, it's not. The
falling in love part, because you don't actually know that person. Right. So a lot of things that I was reading is that, like, you know, having a relationship past the honeymoon phase means you are choosing that person, quote unquote, for better or for worse, because you want to be with them as a person. I read that there are a lot of times that couples who are together for like 15 years, they go through phases where they like sometimes feel like they don't even love each other anymore. You know, they feel like their love has drifted. And then they still want to be with that person, so then they do things together. They go on dates, they go on vacations, they find hobbies that they can do together to bring that love back. And it's a wave of feeling like you don't love that person and loving that person. But I would choose that every single time over the feeling of not trusting somebody, right? Like over the feeling of not having anybody who knows me like you do, or not having anybody, or having to find somebody again who I can reveal myself as a soul the way I have to you. So our relationship from now on is going to be about choosing each other, and then choosing and going after things that remind us why we love each other.
Yeah.
Doing things that are purposely for feeling connected.
Yeah.
Because before, you just feel connected when you're in the room with that person.
Yeah.
You just feel like
you feel connected at all times.
Yeah, you feel lovey-dovey and connected, like even when you're not in the room with that person.
Yeah, that's what I felt with you in the beginning also. Yeah. I felt like I could just pick up my phone and talk to my best friend and this is gonna be my best friend forever, right? And that feeling, that to know that in the beginning, from the shift of not having anybody, is that, you know, endorphin, whatever it is in your brain, that sparks that feeling, right?
Well, it's especially with you with ADHD, I did a lot of reading on that too, and people with ADHD are dopamine seekers, which is why people with ADHD are often drug addicts, or they're alcoholics, or they're sex addicts, or they're porn addicts, because you're constantly searching for that dopamine. That's why I think you...
We have lack of it.
That's why I think you got addicted to porn, because there's a lot of people who watch porn, but can stop if they want to, or can...
It's like me and cigarettes.
And choose not to, right? But I think the dopamine that you get from watching porn is addictive because your ADHD brain searches for dopamine.
Yeah.
That's why you like drugs and cocaine and drinking and partying, because your ADHD brain is searching for that dopamine.
At one point in life.
And right, and you got that from our relationship in the beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then when that goes away, obviously I'm trying not to have as many, I'm trying to overcome my fears. And one of those fears is you not getting that dopamine release from me anymore, and finding somebody else when you're out that gives you that feeling because you have that flirtatious connection.
Yeah.
So.
You know what fear does.
Well, exactly. You know, but you have your own fears too.
100%. And I know what, like what I'm saying is we know what fear does.
Right. Right.
We know the only thing what fear does is create whatever you're afraid of. That's the only thing it does. So that's an interesting piece of information right there. And I, when I hear you say that, I also look back at my life and be like, fuck, there's so many things that make sense and correlates with that. Like, fucking when I did drugs and when I went to all the festivals and when I, you know, spent $1,250 in 2 weeks on alcohol and partying and smoking weed and, you know.
Because your brain is searching for a dopamine.
It's a replacement for what I was feeling. Like when I didn't have that, when I was at home and I didn't have a job and I was sleeping on my mom's couch.
Of course, like, you're gonna go out and drink.
Else, you know?
Of course you are. There's
the quickest fix.
You don't have to, there's nothing to blame for that. That is completely natural.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was by myself and I was living with my mom, with my parents, like I actually didn't, for like the first 6 months when I moved home after being with James, I didn't go out and drink. I bought a bottle of wine, I sat in my room, I watched BTS videos, I wrote.
That sounds something that I would enjoy also.
But like that's why I think that I understand that I can do things for myself. I can take time for myself. Like I enjoy so much going home from work and smoking weed and getting in the shower and just dancing to BTS for an hour being high. Like I know that I can entertain myself and be happy in myself. And I don't really know where I was going with that, actually.
Yeah, but I think you were just expressing that. Since
oh yeah, so we have so about. I spent you know, several month period in which it was just me. I met people at work, but all those princesses just, I never connected with one.
Yeah.
I never connected with a princess that I like wanted to see after work. because I felt like they were all just superficial. And that's just my own judgment, right? That's just me not giving them a chance. Yeah. But from initial interactions, yeah. I didn't feel like I connected with anybody.
That's proof that you take care of yourself. Mm-hmm.
So instead, I spent 6 months in my bedroom drinking wine by myself and just enjoying my own time. And I know that I could do that again if I had to. But it's really nice to have...
You can still, though. If
right.
Like, no. You want to have that time. Like, fucking, you want to sit in your room by yourself and watch BTS videos all night and you don't want me there. And I'll be like, fucking, please go do that, mm-hmm. right? I would love to give you that moment.
Right.
And it doesn't take for me to go buy you that bottle of wine to tell you, here, baby, sit here and watch BTS videos. Like, that's something you have to initiate.
Right.
So then, like... There's a fine line where I'm trying to figure out, like, how do we get our time for ourselves? Like, do I go take it? Do we schedule it? Do we, you know, how do we do that, right? Because we can sit here and talk about how we're gonna fix it, and you know.
So when it comes to us taking time apart and being away from each other and doing our own thing, I can't stress enough that I enjoy that so much, but when we're not good, it's really difficult. Like, everyone was telling me, you know, like, you're alone, you're in Bali, like, go out and do something, like, have fun, enjoy yourself, blah, blah, blah. And I really wanted to do that. Like, I went out to look for a bar to sit at and try to talk to people. I went out walking down the beach looking for a bar to try to find someplace to sit down and talk. Like, I wanted that. But when you and I aren't good, like when my home isn't good, I just had a sick feeling that I couldn't get past. And I think it for me, I enjoy my alone time and I enjoy doing things by myself when I feel good with us. That's when I can really just enjoy it. Like I want to be in a good place with you when we do that, because otherwise,
feel like you're doing it to replace that.
Yeah,
I know how that feels.
So if we can maintain a healthy communication, if we can maintain, you know, being able to stay on a good vibe, and I understand that we're both human and there's no way you can live on a high weight forever, but
you can make the lows higher,
right?
And that's a task, right? Because we don't have to make the highs higher.
No, because our highs are amazing.
And the highs get higher by how well we take care of our lows. That's the wave of life, right? Mm-hmm. The quicker you stop the low, the higher the next high. Because if the wave of getting high, let's say it's 100 meters, and you stop at minus 50, the next one is going to be 50. Mm-hmm. But if you stop, you're lower, then the next time at minus 20, you're going to be 80, mm-hmm. right? So the wave of getting higher is by taking care of the lows, right? You know, and appreciating the highs, mm-hmm. obviously, like enjoying that, knowing that this too will pass, right? Mm-hmm. But just enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So I think a manifesto is a great start, and something that we like wake up and read every day. Mm-hmm. That's what I suggested when we were in Oslo.
Mm-hmm. I want to do that.
And we can do it before we meditate, or we can, you know, whatever, while we stretch or whatever, you know. We can hang out on the wall. While we're being
truthful and talking about this kind of stuff, something that is important to me is understanding how we feel sexually, which is why I brought that up when we were at Ari House and had that conversation.
Ari House? No, we didn't have it.
Yeah, we did.
Ari House.
Yeah, like
what did we talk about?
We were like sex and boundaries and feeling.
Oh yeah, that was, I think, was our.
Yeah, because one thing that I clicked with so much about you is how you made me feel about my body and how I believed that you didn't care that I had small boobs, you didn't care that I have a small butt, you didn't care that because we fucked like rabbits, you know, all the time in the beginning, and of course that slows down, but I enjoy having sex with you. I think you're really hot. And the feeling that I get when we fuck is unreal. It's, I wish I could put words to like it's like mindfulness meditation at the same time of feeling like alive and feeling desired. Maybe that's just because I'm a female and I see sex differently than men. I see it as an expression of love, especially when it's with you. I see it as a time to connect it with you in a way that I can't connect with any other human being on the planet. Yeah. And like, I give that to you.
I want
to
learn that. Because my brain about sex is, you know, fucking porn, right? And that's, I feel like that's how I understand also what you say. I understand that that is the goal with sex. I understand that sex is supposed to be something, you know, that you only share with one person, and that it's going to be this intimate moment that you only have with this other one other person, and it's supposed to give you this feeling, right? And you know, I have watched porn for 13 years, right? So then I also realized that the reason I feel the way that I feel when we have sex, like, of course it feels awesome, it feels great, you know, I love having sex with you. But I also notice that I'm insecure when we have sex. I also notice that I can't let 100% go when I have sex. And I don't know if I want to blame it on anything but porn, because that's all I fucking knew for so long, right? And I want to unlearn that. I want to understand, and I can understand that that's hard because of, you know, ADHD and whatever addiction that I had about porn or still have, you know. So then learning how to not feel that way anymore is, you know, I've never done that before. I've never, you know.
I imagine it's probably not going to be an easy challenge to.
And it already isn't, right? It's already a hard thing to get over. It's already. So then, I want to understand how I can do that. And obviously the first step is, like, you know, stop watching porn, right? And I've watched so little, like, compared to what I did before I met you. Like, I would watch porn 3 times a day. I would wake up in the morning. I would, even at times I would do it at work. I would, you know, come home and this is the first thing I do. I would come home from Happy Mondays. I would do it while Marcus is sleeping in the bed next to me. Like, I would do it all the time. So compared, like, I'm not even doing half of what I would do earlier, right? So the progression of myself is what I'm, like, cheering myself for. And, like, you know, say good job for that instead of be like, you know, punish myself for the few times that I have. And I guess I'm just, it's a process, you know? And that's what I'm realizing.
Do you think it's possible?
Yeah, 100%. I know it is. And I know I will get there. I know that at one point it'll be like, you know, it'll be so, you know, it will come a time where it won't even cross my mind. I understand that that's where I'm going.
Well, not, I mean, like, not quitting your addiction to porn, but seeing sex with me differently.
Yeah.
You think that's possible?
Yeah. And 100%. Like, I know I'm going there. And it's the same, like, you know, impatient thing when it comes to making content and how far we have come. It's the same process. It's the same brain that is thinking the same thing, but a different process, right? So I'm punishing myself for not already being there when I've already gotten so far.
I'm proud of how far you've come.
Me too. And I appreciate you saying that. So how I get there, I don't know, because I keep asking myself the question now, like, what would it take for me to get to where you are? And I don't know. I just know what I might have to do, and that's what I'm doing, right? And because I've never done that before. That's one of the few things about who I am and working out that I want to completely, you know, switch is, one, like, completely 100% never again watch porn, and and two, like working out every day and knowing and feeling how that is to have it as your lifestyle, right? Those are the two things in my life that I think will completely change my mindset about who I am and about what I do and about how I process thoughts and about, like, I think those two things are on the top of my list. Like, this is something that I need to quit with and start with. And until then, until I actually get myself to do that, I don't think I will know how to get there. But I think that those two things will get me.
What do you feel when we finish having sex?
What I feel?
Because why I imagine you act the way you do when we finish having sex is because you're used to finishing watching porn, coming, and then swiping out and going on Instagram or going to sleep or doing whatever you're doing, because to you, sex is
that
and then being done.
Yeah.
As a woman, having sex with a man, every single time it's over, right? Like, it's over because it's over for you. It's over for the man. As a woman,
that's probably the first thing we talked about.
My love hormones, my connection feeling is still there because I would have kept going if you hadn't stopped. Not that I like need to keep going because I can stop, but like my connection feeling that I have from sex is like still there. But for a man, most often it's done when they come and then they're on to the next thing. And then that's why there's the whole stigma with the way women view sex. But it's because we still have those feelings, the feeling of connection, the feeling of romance, the feeling of love that comes from, you know, there's difference in just fucking somebody. Like, what I did with Bendik was not what I do with you, for example. Like, it's not even comparative. It's not the same feeling. And when I have sex with you, it's on a completely different realm of what sex is. And so I still feel like connected. I still feel like I'm having those feelings. And then then it's just over and I'm left with feeling
forgotten. I can see that. And I understand that blows. You know? And I'm not aware of that, you know. When I'm done, like, my brain does what it always has, you know. It does what it does. And if I'm not aware of that, if somebody doesn't tell me, then, you know, how the fuck would I? If that's not, you know. So then to understand how I can learn more from you, how would you picture us acting towards each other after sex? Like, what would satisfy you? What would give you a feeling that is enough or opposite of what you're explaining?
You know, I actually don't know. I think I would say I don't know exactly what that would be, because I feel like it's hard. It's having this conversation and explaining to you like what I would want, and then getting that next time or one time would feel ingenuine. It would feel like you're just simply doing it because I expressed to you that this is what I want. But I'll tell you, you know, after sex is over, to continue on that wave of feeling with cuddling after and kissing and telling you that you love me, and I feel somewhat kind of stuck in my idea of sex, because I'm all for anybody fucking whoever they want to fuck. Like, I've never sex shamed somebody who has a lot of sex. Like, you do you. Like, sex is what it is to each individual person. But to me as a human, especially when I'm having sex with somebody that I love, it's a feeling of a way that I can give my body and have a connection with another human that I can't have with anybody else on the planet. And I choose to give that to you. So I feel like I give a piece of myself to you every time we have sex. I feel like I open up a realm of vulnerability and a realm of who I am as a person that you don't see otherwise, other than when I'm fucking you. That's an aspect of me that comes out during that time. And then when sex is over and you don't look me in the eyes, or you want to roll over and start the next task, I feel like I have to try to suffocate those feelings of connection and love so that you can go on and do the next thing. Yeah. And now I'm not saying like we have to cuddle for hours or you have to ignore whatever you want to do next, because there's obviously times in which you want to fuck and then you get up and do other shit. Like, that's not what we're going to do the whole day. But just some type of gesture of understanding that I'm still in sex mode. I'm still...
Is it always like that?
I would not say it's always like that. But it's always there to some degree. To some degree, I still feel like these romantic, loving hormones that are rushing through my body while we're fucking. And then I have to suffocate those when sex is over.
And how is that?
It's not easy. It's a lot of talking myself out of what ifs and whys and why is he acting, or it's a lot of picking myself back up every time.
So
but I don't expect anything of you, knowing that you have had a 13-year porn addiction. All I can imagine is what that must have done to your view of what sex is. And for me to expect for you to see sex differently just because I do would be wrong of me. But I do feel that if you were able to get to the feeling that I get when we fuck, the feeling of connection, the feeling of being able to open up your vulnerable side and just let completely go and forget what is happening outside of the bed. Like, I'm not thinking about my day. I'm not thinking about what I gotta do next. I'm not thinking about anything else than like that exact moment.
You also don't have ADHD.
Right, that's true.
I feel like I'm always seeing the world with everything I do with a realm of like observation. Even when I'm part of it. Like, I am in the situation, but there's a step outside of it that I'm like, I'm viewing it from the outside. And when I'm high, it happens even more from the outside, right? But most of the times, like, in whatever situation, like, I picture myself from outside. I see it as, like, as I am acting towards anything, I look at myself in that moment and I ask, how does this look?
I can especially see how that would apply to sex, because you're so used to seeing it from the outside. Yeah. You've seen it from the outside a million times more than you have from the inside. And to you, that's what sex is. To you, sex is...
No, it isn't. It is why I've been taught that sex is. And I know that that's only what I've been taught that sex is. It's not what it is. I know what sex is. I know what sex is supposed to be like. I know what sex is supposed to feel like. You know, I know that sex is supposed to be this connection between two people that you can only have with this person. I know that, like, that is what sex is. It's a reason it's called making love, because that's what you were doing, right? You're creating love. And it's a moment of just you and that person. But when I have, you know, watched porn all these years, as you say, I've watched it from the outside. Even knowing that sex, because I read about it, you know, I have, even though I watched porn, I was also interested in knowing, like, I remember looking up, like, do porn people have relationships? Like, how is it after relationships, you know? Are they always porn stars for the rest of their lives? Or can they have relationships? Like, I remember reading about those things. And what I have seen is that some porn stars, you know, understand that they had to pull out because they were getting a deluded vision of what a good relationship is, or they were getting a deluded vision of or a mind image of what it is to be a healthy partner, right? So I've read stories of people that was not able to go back to a relationship and that was still struggling, and people that never pulled out as porn stars, you know, fucking 50-year-old porn stars, you know, that have been since they were 20, and that's just how they choose to live their lives, right? And then there's, you know, people that manage to pull out and, you know, change their mindsets. So what I expect myself unlearning is that I have to switch the impulse, the urgency to feel satisfied, you know, jerking off. It's the ability to hold off, to, because that is something that, like, earlier today when we had sex, it was better than most of the times, because I feel like it had gone 7 days, right, or 5 or 6, or however, you know, and I felt like I could let more go, because I felt like I loved you even more than I did previously. Like, I felt more for you in today's session of sex, and that's why I could. Because I don't know if you noticed, but there was like a sliver of more letting go, a little bit more vulnerability. I at least felt it, and it didn't feel awkward. It felt right, right? So, and I understand that that's the feeling, because I've had it so many times, right? I understand that when I feel that vulnerability, that it doesn't feel vulnerable. It feels great, right? So I understand where I'm going. I understand what I'm supposed to feel. And knowing that also, like, you know, allows me a clear goal. And I think that I'm going to learn. And I think I'm going to, like, we talk about 13 years of porn addiction. And, you know, we usually say that it takes half that time to get rid of it with any addiction. If you smoke for 20, it's going to take you 10 years to get out of it. If you, whatever addiction, is going to take you half that year at least. So, or 50% of whatever, however long you've done the thing that you're addicted to, right? So in theory, it should take me 6.5 years before I'm fully out of it, right? But I believe that I will understand earlier that the feeling of being vulnerable with you is better than, it's delayed gratification. That's what it is. It's better than the instant gratification of, you know, oh, I feel horny and I want to jerk off and it feels great when I watch porn, right? It does, but it feels even better to feel vulnerable with you. And I know that, you know? And it's that sense of urgency, having to get to somewhere.
Well, you're so used to that thing. You're so used to having that instant gratification of porn whenever you wanted to.
And every guy, you know, every dude. And it's so easy, you know, I feel that it's dangerous for the mind.
How come when we were at Ari house, you told me that it's not damaging?
Because it depends on the person, you know, it's subjective. So yes, both of the times when I said it's damaging and it's not damaging, it depends on the person, you know. I can choose for it to be non-damaging for me and break up with you and forever watch porn and become a porn star, and that's how I live my life, and that's why it's not damaging. Because I can be happy there, right? So, but I could also understand that if I want to have a relationship, a healthy relationship, and I want to have kids, I, you know, that's not the road that I'm going to go. So it's not healthy for me, right? It's not healthy for somebody that wants that, right? Unless, you know, you never know if it's a partner that supports that, and then that's the way you live your life. But I understand that that's not something that is healthy either, you know? It's not necessarily, and when I think about it, it's not something that I want, right? You know, when dudes talk to dudes, we'll be like, oh, you know, the dream girl will let me fuck other girls. But that's just a stupid guy thing to say, right? So it's not reality.
That's what you told me you wanted.
Exactly. And it was the truth, right? In that moment, in those times, it was the truth. It was something that I truly felt, you know, that's changed too, right? I don't want to be able to have sex with more people. I don't want to, because I understand that I don't feel I will accomplish what I want to accomplish with you if I feel that way, I won't ever feel like, let's say we break up. This comes back to what we talked about earlier. If I leave you and then I regret it, I will have a thought thinking that I could fix this. Like, it wouldn't have been, I tried everything, right? It wouldn't have. And I would have to get over that regret instead of thinking that I tried everything. So it's just a correlation of thoughts, right? It's just a correlation of,
because we haven't
of
had,
how I want to live my life.
We haven't had that conversation about you wanting to sleep with other people and wanting to be in an open relationship and thinking that I wasn't right for you because I'm not the type of person that wants to be in an open relationship, and that you wishing that one day maybe I would come around to like being okay with us sleeping with other people. You looked me right in the eyes and you told me that you wouldn't care if I slept with other people. And we haven't had that conversation since, so I wasn't quite sure where you were on the subject.
Yeah, I mean, we should have had that conversation, like, you know, the day after. This conversation, we should have had that the week after. You know, and every week after we said that. So that we haven't talked about it is, you know, why I haven't pulled it up is because that's how I, you know, anything I experience is something that happens in the moment, and then I forget about it. And then I never think about it again, you know. I haven't thought about it. I literally haven't. And as I, you know, walk around and live my life, I have thoughts that I don't think about expressing to you that I should express to you. Like, ooh, this is something that, you know, I should say to Kayla. It doesn't always happen, right? So I have come to the conclusion that I understand that if I want to experience a healthy relationship, like as it is supposed to be experienced, build a strong relationship, like so few manage to, because, you know, whatever, divorce rates are stupidly high and just get higher. I wanna have a Tom, Billy, and Lisa relationship. You know, I wanna have a Tony Robbins and whatever. And, you know, because they, you know, they have found each other and they have worked for so many years to build that kind of relationship, right? So every human being that I look up to have accomplished that. And they are happy because of it. So the only right thing for me to think is I want that also. You know? And if it's not with you, then who the fuck am I, you know? You know, I'm not gonna, you understand? Like, I already have you here. That's what I keep thinking with myself too. Like when I punish myself in a positive way, I'd be like, everything that I want to fix about myself, I can do it through you. I can use you to help me with that.
Absolutely.
I can whatever fear or expression that I don't dare to talk about, or whatever it is that I want to fix about myself, I have you to help me with that. And that's what I keep telling myself. Like, I use, sometimes my brain goes to, I use you as the, you know, I blame you or anybody, you know, or you, I blame you for what I feel or for what I think and for the reason that I think it's, you know, that's just the egoic mind going off, right? But then the optimistic version of me, when that comes and when the rational part of my brain starts talking, it says that that same thing that I'm complaining about is just an insecurity in me that I could express differently and fix it instead of blaming, right? But then, you know, I have to channel that. I have to ask myself, how do I channel that at all times? How do I express myself in that way at all times? And that's something that I want to accomplish. That's something that I take pride in thinking that I want to accomplish. Because it's such a trait.
That's,
you know,
a really cool thing to want to accomplish.
It's a really cool trait. It's a, I want to have that skill.
That's a really great thing to want to grow. I've been walking around since that conversation thinking that you want to sleep with other people.
No wonder you have fears, the fears that you have then. No wonder you're afraid of losing me. No wonder you're afraid of running out of money, because all those things are just correlated to you losing me. And if you have thought about it ever since we talked about it, and I haven't thought about expressing it again to make sure that that's not how I think anymore, you know, it's a simple human thing that we haven't talked about it. And, you know, for whatever reason, we haven't. Suppressing it from your side and my brain not even fucking thinking about it since the week after it happened, right? And just as to say, like, you know, as you said in the beginning, like, you walk through this place and you imagine yourself that the dudes that look at you, the only thing they want is to bring you to like have sex with you, right? And that's one of the things that I want to eliminate from my mind also, is picturing that in my head. Because I know I don't want that, right? I know that needs to go for me to accomplish what I want to accomplish.
Right, and I believe that comes from you watching so many girls have sex. You are so used to seeing women naked and fucking that when you see people out and about, it's really easy for your mind to picture them in those positions that you've been watching girls fuck your whole life.
And I don't want that. And I detect it in my mind when I see it, and I you know, observe it, because I don't want to label it. I don't want to punish myself for it, because that's the quickest way to, you know, continue doing it. So when I notice myself do it, I'm like, okay, I pull myself out of it. It's more like, okay, I notice it happening, becoming aware of it, and then I'll try it next time, right? And every time I don't, I applaud myself. And I notice it almost every time. Like, it doesn't happen unless I'm aware of it happening, you know?
I never picture myself having sex with people. It's such an interesting...
But you picture others wanting to have sex with you. As you said in the beginning.
Yeah. I don't picture it. Like, that's how I feel like I'm being approached. Is for that reason. But I don't ever imagine or picture myself having sex with people. That's just not how my brain operates. But I also have been watching porn for 13 years.
Yeah.
Sex has become such a nonchalant, meaningless, easy, and accessible thing to you that when you see people, you just put them in the situation that you've been watching naked women have sex your whole life. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
And I also see that other guys experience the same thing, and that they struggle to keep relationships because of it, and that they are looking for that perfect person, and that they are, you know, often judging out of how people look, and yeah, I see why. We live in a world where women are struggling. Not only to find someone that is not somebody that wanna like rock them, but also understanding that men have a very easy way to end up there. It's not men's fault. It's the human mind's fault. You can call it, it's the brain's condition of fear, because it's also built on fear.
You know, like women in Africa, tribes in Africa, women walk around completely topless, no shirts, no anything.
Yeah.
But they're not, boobs aren't seen as sexual in those countries. Boobs are seen as things you feed your children with.
Yeah.
So they don't arouse the men who walk by because they've seen naked women their whole life and not attribute that to sex. They've seen boobs since they could remember, and to them that is not. So I don't know if it's a human thing, if it's a culture thing or a society thing.
I think it's a society thing. I think it's a society in which this is how I, like, you know, we're built on fear, both men and women, and the human condition is built on fear because of wars, because of how leaders of our history has, you know, taken control of populations. It's all of, you know, I have a gun and I can kill you, and that's why you should listen to what I'm saying, you know. And then we are in 2019, in which that has evolved with the mind, right? The DNA has passed on to who we are today, and we're built on fear. And fears have, you know, the average man today is not a man that dares to talk about feelings. It's not a man that is open about how they feel about how they feel about themselves, or how they feel about their friends, or how they feel about anything. An average man today is somebody that is looked at and is expected to be a man, whatever the fuck that means. And it's expected to have a good job, and it's expected to have enough money to sustain the family. And you know, it's the same fucking story as it was 100 years ago. It's just a modern version of that, you know? I mean, an alpha male today is somebody that has a fuck ton of money and drives around, you know, has a nice job and wears a nice suit and has a balanced life, you know? That's an alpha male. But an alpha male, you know, is somebody that is in touch with themselves. It's somebody that understands, he's not perfect. He understands what he wants, you know. And it's not, so what I'm gonna get to is essentially that the fears that men have are easy to resolve. It's easy to fix it. By putting on the, you know, the tough guy attitude, mm-hmm. and jerking off when you feel horny and you feel like you need to be satisfied, and then you just go about your life, and then you do that every single day, every week, you know, and conform to society's rules of whatever is an alpha male. That you think that you have to, you know, mm-hmm. be accepted as a man. Mm-hmm. It's the same as with women, right? You want to be accepted for who you are. You know, you want to be in touch with your feelings. You want to be able to express yourself as who you are. You want to express yourself as a woman. You want to be recognized as one, regardless of what that means. You want to be recognized as a woman for what you define as a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's being lesbian, or if that's being, you know, whatever that must be. Then you want to be accepted for that, you know? But then that's hard for you too, because we have a generation of men that doesn't know how to accept themselves. Then how the fuck are they going to accept anybody else, right?
I see that as, I see that in me and in my friends and in society and in how women speak to each other. You know, like, we are, I think I've said this before, like, we're taught that men are horny and they want to fuck you no matter what. And then you get offended by that.
And you gotta be careful.
But then if they reject you and they don't wanna fuck you, then something is wrong with you. Like, I've had men reject me and feel like, what the fuck? Because we have this societal understand that if we're attractive, like, men are supposed to wanna have sex with us. And if they don't, then something is goddamn wrong with you, because men will have sex with anybody.
And that's all the same fucking delusion on the women's side, right? You're supposed to be a woman, and you're supposed to be wanted by every man.
Right.
But then when you know, it's just out of this world.
In women's society, it feels, and I wonder if this is with men too, but we feel like we are all competing with each other, because with women, we can wear makeup to look beautiful, right? We can wear pretty clothes to look to make our bodies look beautiful.
Yeah.
So instead of everyone competing with each other with their naturalness, now we're all competing with each other with our money.
How good we can make ourselves.
Who has the most money to buy the nicest makeup, the nicest nails, the fanciest clothes to put on this show for men? And then so us at the bottom of the money pool, who don't have the, at least this is how I saw it before, and this is how I know a lot of people see it. I don't see it this way anymore, but this is how a lot of our women's society see it. We can't compete with those people. We are lesser of an attractive human because we don't have big boobs and we don't have a lot of makeup and we don't have fancy people who can do our hair and make us look like these Instagram models. And so we see it as those women win, because men now see that as the standard, see these Instagram models as standard, see these porn stars as standard, see these celebrities as standard, and the rest of us who are beautiful in our own way but don't have the ability to get plastic surgery or don't have the ability to learn how to do makeup in which they do that make them look gorgeous, we are not worthy of men. Because this is what I wrote in the post. I felt like anybody who decided to be with me, they would have to convince themselves to settle. They would have to convince themselves that you know, well, big boobs are attractive, a big ass is attractive, skinny waist is attractive, but like, I'll just settle for you because like, and then I'll just dream about those people, or I'll just look at them and fantasize about them, but like, I'll just settle for you. That's how we...
Hey, recording? Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure where we left off, but, or where it stopped recording with it, but I think that it's gonna drift off naturally anyways, like, whatever we were talking about at the end, it's still gonna be like somebody, or I mean, whatever we finish saying right now, it's just gonna be like,
so I think when it comes to I wanna bring it back to bettering ourselves as individuals for the sake of ourselves, and knowing that that in turn will cause us to have a better relationship. I think it's important to remind ourselves, one, why we love each other. Because, you know, when I was talking to those people on Facebook last night after our fight, I was thinking like that it was hard for me to comprehend that you needed to be away from me to remember why you loved me, because I can look in your eyes and remember why I love you. I can hear your voice, I can feel your touch and remember why I love you. And you needing to not be around me to suddenly remember why you love me was hard for me to first understand.
But you understand why that is, right? And that's simply because I haven't had the time for myself. Because you could have literally been up there and I've literally been down here and done my thing, and that would be my alone time. Mm-hmm. And I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And if that happened, you know, that's why it was so nice to be able to go to work in Oslo. And you stayed at home and did your thing, and you come home, and you remember that time that I said when you talked to me about my porn or whatever, and how you related to that, and you said, you know, if you want to watch, fucking do whatever the fuck you want, right? After that, I've watched so much less, that like, that's a wrong way, but a lot less, because I know that now the power lays in me. It's not in you anymore. It's not in how I feel about what you feel, or I'm not doing it because you don't want me to. It's because I know what I want. You gave me back that power, you know. I took it back, or I mean, you gave it back to me. That's what you did, and I believe that that happened because you had time for yourself, and because there was created space of me not being around you. You had time, you know, to smoke, do whatever the fuck you wanted, and then be in your own head. And I truly believe that's because you had time for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I also expressed after you said what you said. I said, well, fuck, thank you for saying that. Because it puts off 1,000 kilos off my shoulders. And this is what space creates, is what I said. This is what space creates. It's a better conversation. It's clearer conversations. You know, if you stayed yesterday, maybe we wouldn't have this good conversation right now. Because, you know, we would be in each other's faces, right? So, that moment will never happen again if we find a way for us to only work on ourselves for, you know, and you can sit right there, right? You can be sitting right here, but you'll be doing your thing and I'll be doing my thing.
I think something that I have fears of about is that I'm gonna be judged by you for the things that I choose to do as like my own things. I think I have fears that you're gonna judge me because my own thing is binge watching BTS videos instead of making YouTube videos. Or my thing is whatever I choose to do, and feeling like I am being judged because it's not as productive as you think I should be doing. Or it's not as productive and it's not, and then you think I'm not chasing a dream, or you think I'm not, you know, fighting for my future because in my alone time I might choose to do something that you don't see as productive. That's something that I fear.
And let me tell you why you fear that. And that's just because we haven't put those boundaries. Like, when are we doing something that is productive for both of us? When are you doing something that is just productive for yourself, right? Because if this is not for me to not judge you, because I don't. It's more to you not feel judged, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it is... Now I am doing this for myself. That's why I think it's so important. I keep getting goosebumps when I say it, right? now you don't have to worry about that, you know. If we were sitting down together and we have set off 2 hours to work on our content and what you're doing is, you know, doing something, oh, this is shit that I do all the time, right? I sit down, we're supposed to work, and I end up watching Gary Vee videos, right? So that is something that I might feel judged over, or that I might judge myself for. I shouldn't be doing this, right? But if I know that now I have set an hour or two or three to do whatever the fuck I want, so whatever the fuck my mind tells me that I want to do, then I can sit there and enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I can sit there and have my time for myself for whatever reason that I give myself that I want to spend that time on, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Like I can see myself wanting to like go lay out by the pool for a couple hours and just like not be on my phone and just be in peace and quiet and be in my own head. Perfect. But I get this bubbling feeling of
you should be doing something else.
Of no, not for myself, because if okay.
It's to not disappoint me.
Yeah. Because we see like happiness in a little bit of a different light. Of course, I know that I am chasing something. I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but I am figuring it out as I go. I am chasing something, but I'm not quite sure exactly what it is. And the more clear that picture gets, the more easier it'll be to chase, but I'm not sure yet. And that's okay with me. I'm still figuring that out. I'm chasing our dream of becoming social media influencers and having people who support us and getting paid that way and then being able to use our money to help other people. Mm-hmm. That's what I see as my big picture, but I'm not quite sure how to get there yet.
I'm gonna add something, hold on.
Okay.
Okay, put a pin on that. We won't be able to do that unless you get time for yourself.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right. However, you know, like my time for myself, when I think of that, I think of what do I do in the moment that will make me happy without needing you to be there or without needing anybody else to be there. And oftentimes that might not be something that you see as productive.
And that's okay.
And that I have fears with, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of conversations about how you don't think that I chase something, or you don't think that I'm working towards a goal, or you don't think that I choose to spend my time in a way that is going to help me in the future. But you also want me to do things that make me happy and have my alone time and do things for myself. So I have fears that if I choose to watch BTS videos for 3 hours, or if I choose to go lay out by the pool and just tan because that makes me happy and I want to do that, then I'm going to be judged by you because I'm wasting my time.
That is so interesting, because that proves what I read in a book one time, that what you think is your weakness is your strength. And that is that what you just said is what can be what you tell me that this is what I need to be happy right now, and this is what makes me happy, and this is what I feel is productive for me. Then you don't even have to say it. You don't even have to tell me that. You just have to say, this is what I want to do right now because I want to do it right now. And that'll be enough for me. Like, this is what that is what I mean with what I say.
Okay.
Take your time. Decide to do that thing or to watch BTS video for 3 hours. And you don't even have to convince me that, okay, yeah, I'm doing it because you simply have to say that, or not even say it, just go do it, right? Or we can set off time that, you know, 3 hours today, we're going to do whatever the fuck we want, right? And then I'll do whatever I want and you do whatever you want.
Because what you want right now, what makes you happy, is watching Gary Vee videos, is editing videos, yeah. is bettering yourself in that way. And I appreciate that. Fuck, man, do I appreciate that. And it's so inspiring to me. And there are often times I will choose to do that too. I will choose in my free time to get my own work done or edit those pictures that I've been wanting to edit or do those things. But I guess something that a fear that I need to overcome is not feeling like you are judging me for what I choose to spend my free time on.
What I would love to see, you know, is you just deciding what you want, mm-hmm. and not waiting and not being afraid of what I'm gonna think. That will have me actually judge you, right? Mm-hmm. Not because I want to judge you, but because that's where my mind goes. You know, my egoic mind goes there, and it's like, just do you, right? Don't convince me of anything. Don't tell me that this is what you want to do because it makes you feel good. Just say that this is what you. I'm deciding that this is what I want to do right now. That is what I mean with take time for yourself.
That is what I mean with do something that is productive for yourself. That is what I mean with take care of yourself. Is you deciding to take that time because you feel like you need to, regardless of what the fuck I say about it.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
That is your time. That is your power. That is your right as a human being to do whatever the fuck you want. Right?
Mm-hmm. And I understand that and I agree.
I wish I could understand how I could not teach you, but like allow you that.
Mm-hmm.
Like not because I'm giving you a permission to,
mm-hmm.
but because I want to make you understand that you are the one that decides.
Mm-hmm.
It's your, I am not the one that decides what is productive for you. You decide that, right? So maybe I haven't been clear on that, right? I just say that, like, you know, do your thing. And then your thought is, but what if that is not productive to what we're going to accomplish? Well, too fucking bad, right? Do your thing, right? And that is attractive. Fucking take charge. It's your life, right? It's your time. It's your needs. And that's what I keep saying. Your needs are not, like, not even 50% necessarily of, this is just an arbitrary number, maybe not 60 or 70, whatever the number is, of what you need is what I need. What we need together is maybe just 20%. You know, it's just arbitrary again. We don't know the number, but the things that we do together that both of us needs are not maybe even half of what is that you need to do just for yourself, right? So maybe you need to spend 80% of your time doing whatever the fuck you want and just 20 with me, right?
Well, knowing me as a person and the
I understand that number is probably reversed, like 80% you and me and 20% yourself.
Yeah, it's more because I still am me when I'm with you. I still feel like that's just personal. I know that's not how you feel, but from like how I see it,
that's okay.
Still feel like I am satisfied with being me when we're doing stuff together.
And
I love hanging out with you and playing with you and doing the stuff that we can do together when we're at our highs. That is almost equally as good for me as taking time to myself. Now I know it's important to do that as well. So I have to find the balance between those two. But when it comes to, you know, it's definitely not 80-20.
Right, you know, as I said, it's just arbitrary.
Right.
We don't know the number. But it's just hypothetical, right? So that's something we should find out, right? How many hours do we need? Like, we can start by hours. It's like, it's an easy way to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if it's an entire day. I don't picture myself needing one day away. I picture myself maybe, you know, 3 days, or I mean 3 hours a week, or you know what, arbitrary
right.
number, I don't
right.
know, right? But as long as it happens,
right?
Not because I necessarily only need to, but because I know that it's healthy for a human being to do whatever you want without having to worry about what you have to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever we are trying to accomplish. Like if we're gonna wake up every morning and try to do something for us to accomplish, that it's gonna be a job that none of us are gonna feel motivated to do, right? So that is a threshold. That is a thing that we should find out. Schedule into our things. Like, okay, today I'm gonna, you know, I wanna go to the beach and I'm not gonna go to the beach, right? I'm gonna go for a walk and you're not gonna go for a walk. I'm gonna, you know, watch Gary Vee videos and take, you know, and for 3 hours, and that's what I want to do. Like, there's so many videos of Gary Vee that I want to see, and I learned so fucking much about how I want to be as a person
mm-hmm.
when I see those. I saw a 7-hour Gary Vee vlog
mm-hmm.
when he went to the East, Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the entire fucking thing, right? And I learned so much about how he interacts with people, and I see how well he does that, and I get so inspired. The only thing I want after that is go practice, you know, how I do that with others. And I don't want to be Gary Vee. I want to see how he does it and understand, like, I see how people interact with him, and you know, that is something that I need, right? So I'm going to sit down, you know, one of these days, maybe in the airport, whatever, whenever, and watch the mega vlog of 4 hours that he just put out,
because mm-hmm.
I'm excited for that. maybe that's the time where you sit down and watch BTS videos for 4 hours, you know? So yeah, we should put that into our schedules. Cause that'll only make you and me stronger.
I agree. And I'm sorry that I didn't give that a chance before.
I'm sorry that I wasn't able to express that correctly. That's something I want to be better at. I want to express correctly when I feel a certain way, both good or bad, right? Mm-hmm.
Which plays on me telling you that I choose my words wisely. Not because I don't want to express the truth, but because I want to express the truth the best to my ability. And I don't always do that successfully, especially when emotions are running high. When you feel defensive or scared or anxious or whenever you're not at your best, right? It's hard to remain true to...
It's almost impossible. If it didn't start in a good way, it's not going to end in a good way, right? And I think that we avoid getting to those moments if we express to each other as often as possible whenever whatever fear happens. Because now we know that fears and worries and anxieties are just mind-created illusions, right? If we are able to spark that thought in ourselves when we feel it and use feelings as guidance and be like, okay, now I feel this, and then I know that it is, you know, an illusion. I'm fear because of whatever I'm telling myself, and then you have somebody you can express that with. Express that too.
Okay.
Be like, and I can do that, and I can be better at doing that to you. Like, when I feel anxious, when I feel stressed, when I feel fearful,
yeah,
I can be like, okay, I need to say something. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I just need to express to you that this is how I feel.
Absolutely.
Right?
And the best way to do that, it reminds me of when we were in Oslo and we had that conversation about being truthful and being genuine and being honest. And we were just, I remember we were like cleaning the apartment and like we were just flowing with things that we'd been wanting to say or things that I'd been wanting to say but didn't express for one reason or the other. And I would say like, can I say this truthfully? Or like, can I say this to you without judgment? Can I say this to you? It kind of like takes that barrier down. Like, you know, if I just come to you and I just kind of dump emotions on you, however you're feeling in the moment will affect how you see that. But if I come to you and I say, you know, I have something truthful I need to express, and it may not come across well, but I'm saying it with good intention, or I'm saying it because I need help, then that right there, like, we both can take an exhale and then proceed in that conversation with a clearer view of what we want,
yeah,
rather than with uncertainty in what the other person means,
yeah,
or uncertainty in how to take it or why they're coming to you like this.
Mm-hmm.
If we just can start with these emotions that we want to express with, like, I just want to let you know that I'm feeling anxiety and I'm not sure why, and I'm not saying this to hurt you, but this is how I feel, then I think it would give me that opportunity before I start hearing something that I might take as judgment or I might take as pointing fingers or blaming, and take a deep breath and say, like, he's not pointing fingers, he's not blaming me, he just,
yeah,
let me know. So now I can hear this without feeling like that is what's happening.
Yeah.
That's what would work for me, personally.
Perfect, it'll work for me too. Productive conversation. I feel good about it.
These things are necessary. Can't just float through life on a cloud and be all lovey-dovey all the time, as much as I would want that. If it were up to me, we would be romantic and lovey and happy and confident and productive and riding high at every single moment.
You tell the secret? It is up to you.
Well, it's not up to me how you feel. Nope. It's not my responsibility to keep you.
It's up to you to feel how you feel, though.
Right.
And knowing that we have, you know, each other, that whatever bad feeling or uncomfortable feeling that we have, that we have somebody to express that to. And I want to remember that. I want to remember that I'm not alone in this feeling. I don't have to be. I'm choosing to be if I choose to boil on the whatever annoyance that I go carrying, right? And I don't have to, but I choose to because of, you know, the ego of mine needs to, you know, satisfy itself, right? And that's when the feeling of me feeling that I needed to eliminate that again, it's when the desire to start reading the book came again. Because I feel often that when I don't read books that I fall off of that. I fall into the mind structures that I have created up until now in my life. Can we finish this now, the podcast? And sorry,
thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.